You're listening to a sermon by Angelica Dawson recorded on Sunday, November 9th, 2008 at the Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Well, it is good to be here, and I actually have to make one small correction, and that's I'm actually no longer on staff at Emmanuel. I was until the end of August. I was their part-time music coordinator, but my time at NCC increased, and so since I didn't want to work 8 hours a week, I decided to give that up. But I am still a member there, and I still love it there, and I bring greetings to you from Emmanuel Mennonite Church and from our pastor, Abel Yansen. And Mark and Bevan... and Ben Baugh also send their greetings as well. So it feels like there's lots of connections, a lot of connecting points for me here. I also appreciate the way in which this congregation supports MCC. I really do feel your support and appreciate that as well. I also have to share a brief story with you. I was quite flustered actually over this weekend because I borrowed signed out the laptop and projector from MCC in order to be able to make my presentation today, and over the course of the weekend, the laptop was stolen from my home. It was the only thing in my home that was stolen. That's the weird thing. Like, yesterday I spent all day turning the house upside down trying to find the laptop and realized all my guitars are here, my jewelry is here, all my personal electronics equipment. It almost makes me, I would have felt better if they'd stolen my stuff than not the MCC stuff. So it's very odd. I don't know if I interrupted somebody in the process of going through my home, which is also an equally creepy feeling. So, yeah. So I was a little bit set. You know, it sort of puts you off somehow when that kind of thing happens. You know, you feel kind of violated when that happens in your home. But no one was hurt. It's only a laptop after all. So, considering the kinds of statistics we heard this morning in the context of the bigger things going on in the world, it's not such a big deal, right? So I'm really pleased that I can share with you some of my experiences this morning. But I did want to put that, I didn't want to just come and do a missionary slideshow, right? I wanted to put that in the context of Scripture. And our Scripture reading this morning helped me to do that. It really is part of a long family saga that begins much, much earlier in Genesis, with Abraham and Sarah, who receive a promise of a blessing from God, who are given a child in their old age, a child named Isaac, the same Isaac in today's reading. Abraham has since died. Isaac has married Rebekah, and because of famine in the land being Palestine, Isaac is on the move. His intention is to travel to Egypt, the breadbasket of the Middle East, and the place to which his ancestors have always gone in times of hunger. But when he gets to Gerar in the Negev Desert, the land of the Philistines, ruled by King Abimelech, God tells him this is where he should stop and stay. So here it is. In fact, God promises to bless Isaac, giving him almost the same blessing that he gave to his father Abraham years before. Is that better?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. You can turn the other one off too.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the blessing that God gives to Isaac. Don't go down to Egypt. Live in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all the lands. And through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws. So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When we pick up the story in verse 12, we see that Isaac is indeed reaping the blessing of God. He's planted crops and reaped 100-fold because the Lord has blessed him. Isaac carefully chose good soil and land near wells that his father had dug, a well that might have looked like this one in Palestine. He became rich and had flocks and herds and servants. The man who came into the land as a famine refugee became so successful that he literally became the envy of the Philistines. When the Philistines stopped up the wells that produced the water that created his wealth, King Abimelech realized that he could no longer contain the jealousy that was festering. Filling a well with sand is a declaration of war designed to distress the enemy. Water, and I could say water much like oil, is a precious resource in our world, and so precious that it is often a source of conflict. But water is also a gift from God. Of all the water on our planet, 97.5% is found in oceans. Undrinkable salt water, leaving only 2.5% as fresh water. Of that 2.5% of fresh water, 68.7% is frozen in glaciers, 30.054% is found in groundwater, which needs to be accessed by wells like these. So there's one from Palestine, and the one on that side is from Cambodia. And the remaining bits of water are found in ground ice, freshwater lakes, soil moisture, the atmosphere, marshes, and wetlands. And here it was the most interesting statistic to me, being a Canadian, 0.0006% is in rivers. With so little of our water available for drinking, washing, and crop production, it's no wonder that water might be fought over. Over 1.1 billion people in the world lack access to adequate drinking water, and 2.9 billion people lack access to proper sanitation. A person living in North America uses about 450 liters of water a day, while the average person living in a developing world gets by on about 10 liters a day. To put that in perspective, one flush from a standard toilet uses as much water as the average person in the developing world uses for a whole day's washing, cleaning, cooking, and drinking. In Isaac's day, he was seen as a threat because he was blessed by God. His wealth had made him a threat to his neighbors. He had become too powerful. His enemies, out of jealousy, declared war on him by stopping up his wells. The king deports him, and instead of fighting, Isaac chose to move on until he found a place of wealth. In February, I had the opportunity to travel to Southeast Asia with the MCC. As well as visiting water-related projects in Laos, we also visited water-related projects in Cambodia. We visited several projects, but as I read this text from Genesis, I was reminded of a particular project that we visited in Prey Dang on the Mekong River just outside of the capital city of Phnom Penh. Cambodia is still largely an agriculture-based country, as you can see from these photos of women with their cattle and harvesting a dry rice crop. The beautiful countryside is dotted with rice paddies bordered by canals. We had the opportunity to have a picnic together with farmers who are part of the Farmer Water User Committee, a community of farmers from several villages who approached MCC to help them rehabilitate an area with canals and dams. Many of the canals in the country were originally built when Cambodia was under French occupation. Over time, these canals came to disrepair because they were not maintained. During the time of the Khmer Rouge, Cambodians were forced to manually redig thousands of canals just like this one. Undernourished, beaten, and tortured, thousands of Cambodians lost their lives under this regime. It was truly an ugly time in Cambodian history. Cambodia has been occupied by the Thai, the French, the Javanese, the Khmer Rouge, and the Vietnamese. And in 1993, the United Nations-sponsored elections finally helped usher in a coalition government, sometimes threatened by factional fighting, but since 2003, the country really has experienced relative peace. In 2005, farmers in Prey Dang approached MCC for help with redigging canals and rehabilitating the Kalin Tray Dam. This dam was built in the Sihanouk regime in the 1960s and rebuilt again in 1984 under the Vietnamese, but it was never maintained and constantly fell into disrepair. In the years between 1993 and 2004, farmers in this community were facing water shortages for rice cultivation. CACN is a member of the Farmer Water User Committee in Prevent, and he remembers what it was like before the dam was rebuilt. Farmers often quarreled with their neighbors to get water during rice season. Some farmers stole water from their neighbors, he says. Some stopped using land for rice planting altogether, which is almost unheard of in Disha. And others needed to become day laborers in Phnom Penh. Farmers were short of food each year, causing malnutrition in their children. Siang Sian has farmed the same 3 hectares of land that have been in his family for more than 50 years. Before the dam was built, villagers who didn't live near the water had to carry or pump water into their rice fields. He remembers having to pump water with a pump that ran on gasoline, creating an extra expense. Rice yields were not consistent, but mostly he remembers the fighting. There were more quarrels between villagers, he said. Some would try to steal the water or complained about not having access to it. But now that the dam has been rehabilitated, it's so much easier. There's no need for pumps, so the extra cost of gasoline is eliminated. Now, you just open the gates and the water flows, he says. And he added that his yield has also improved. He now gets 5 tons of rice per hectare instead of 3. And the yield is always consistent. The committee ensures that the water is distributed fairly. Farmers who use the water contribute 18,000 riel per hectare, or about $4.50 American. Farmers also contribute rice after the harvest, which is sold, and the money is used for maintenance. So now, 460 families in 6 villages are able to access water. And CACN says there are no more quarrels, no need to steal, and the expensive pumps is eliminated. When farmers need water, they put in a request, and a member of the committee comes to open up the gate closest to the specific field. CACN wasn't the only farmer to talk about the changes that the rehabilitated dam has made to their relationships. Over and over and over again, farmers got up to tell us how grateful they were to have the dam and the canals, how much it means to their community to be able to maintain these structures, and how much they don't fight anymore over water. If good fences make good neighbors, it appears that good dams make good neighbors too. Perhaps these farmers in Cambodia read the story that we've been studying from Genesis this morning and decided to take Isaac's example. They could easily have continued fighting with each other, stealing water from each other. It could have escalated into something greater. God has blessed Cambodia with rich and fertile land, and the villagers of Prevang have decided to share that blessing with each other. It would have seemed logical that Isaac, being so powerful, would fight for his water rights, for his ancestral wells. And yet Isaac quietly lives on, choosing not to abuse his strength. He moves to the Valley of Gerar, a place in the arid Negev Desert, not a green valley, but a brown one. Here he digs wells 3 times. First, he reopens and renames wells that his father Abraham first dug, hoping that by reopening them he could establish a hereditary right to his family property. But the wells are disputed by herdsmen, who claim the water as their own. So Isaac digs a second new well, and they quarrel over that one too. And in verse 22, we read, he moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land. But the story continues. Isaac does indeed flourish in the land. He goes up from there to Beersheba, where he is again visited by the Lord, and God tells him not to fear, and reminds him again that he will be blessed. Isaac builds an altar there, and his servants dig another well. Then King Abimelech comes to visit, bringing a delegation. Isaac asks them, why have you come to me, since you were so hostile to me and sent me away? And this is how they answer. In verse 28 we read, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you, so we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord. Even Isaac's enemies recognize that he'd been blessed by God. Even so, Isaac could have reminded them that he didn't exactly send him away, treat him nicely on his way out. They did stop off his wells at sand as you were home. But instead, Isaac treats them with hospitality, making a feast for them, and they make a covenant with each other to live in peace. No sooner do they leave than Isaac's servants come to him and tell them that they've dug another well. We found water. Again, Isaac receives a blessing from the Lord. This story has moved from famine to plenty, from Isaac living in fear as a refugee to making a feast for all, from conflict and confrontation to one of peace. In Cambodia, we also experienced blessing. The farmers there set up a picnic for us, and we were also given a feast. A feast of thanksgiving for the blessings of water, food, of good relationships. We celebrated a story that moved from famine to feasting, from quarreling and confrontation to peace. What will we take home from these richly detailed stories? Perhaps it will be the simple recognition that water is a gift from God, that we are given many natural resources, and that it behooves us to use them wisely. How do you use the resources that God has given you? Perhaps it will be the recognition that we too are blessed by God. It is important to note that the blessing does not necessarily equal monetary wealth. In our Bible story today, Isaac was described as a man of wealth. He had crops and flocks and servants. The farmers we met in Cambodia would not be considered wealthy by most standards. Yet they considered themselves to be greatly blessed and gave thanks to God for what they had. How have you been blessed by God? Perhaps we will take home with us Isaac's example of what to do when faced with conflict. Isaac shared his blessings, peace, and a promise to live in peace. How do we respond when we are seen as a threat, when we are faced with a conflict, whether that's at home, or at school, or at work? Perhaps we will take home with us the example of Isaac, who gave away that with which he had been blessed, leaving behind his wealth when he moved to the Negev, allowing herdsmen to have the wells he and his servants had dug, making a feast in the presence of his enemies. What are some ways in which we can share our blessings? And as we ponder these questions, I invite you to join me in prayer. God, you have shown us the meaning of generosity in the rich diversity of creation, in the overflowing love of Jesus Christ, in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit. God, you have abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that honors each other, to be servants to others with joy, to share our love and material possessions. We rejoice in what we have been given and in what is ours to give. Amen.